Welcome to CBR episode 523 on September 28th, 2024. I'm Shannon.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Greg.
And you are listening to CBR.
All right, tonight, Shannon and I just got back from a 17-day adventure around the Finger Lakes, which we'll be talking about, and we're doing beers from one of the breweries, one of our favorite breweries on the trip. This is Brewery Ardennes. They're in Geneva, New York, on Seneca Lake, or near Seneca Lake. And let's start with the Oktoberfest, since tomorrow is the last day of Oktoberfest.
Okay. I don't have much to say because you guys had all the fun. So, I mean, what's going to be fun is that next time, unless we do a show before then, but we probably won't. Next time I'll have all the stories because I'm going to be in South Korea in 2 weeks.
Oh, shit.
So.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
That's where you're going. Nice.
So I'm looking for.
Don't accidentally walk to North Korea. I think that's a main rule, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's easy to accidentally. Can I see the can, please? I don't think it's easy to accidentally walk there. I think that there is, you know, some difficulty if you try to do that process. So this is, according to their website, an Oktoberfest Märzen 6.1%. That's pretty high for a Märzen.
I mean, it's on the higher side.
And they don't have much else in other information other than suggested food pairing.
Okay.
What's that?
This is funny based on what Jeff did when I got here, because I gave Jeff some, gave you guys some hot peppers that I got from the market, and Jeff ate one, and it was very, very hot. The suggested food pairing is blistered shishito peppers.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm surprised they didn't mail it in with, like, bratwurst and sauerkraut and spetzel and...
They have an... Interestingly, they say toasted garlic, gochujang, sesame, herbs. I mean, that's a decent plate already. Yeah, like...
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, so Brewery Ardennes, we went there for brunch.
Yes.
And
on a Sunday.
Well, let's smell the beer, let's taste the beer.
Yes.
And then we'll talk about Brewery Ardennes.
Lots of very bready notes up front. Biscuity almost. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The color is almost seems darker in yours, but maybe that's just the light.
I think it's the lighting.
Yeah.
But it does look a little amber.
Yeah, the aroma for me just like hits the spot. It's that very bready, biscuity kind of thing. It's like right where I want it to be.
Not too sweet. You can smell a little bit of the hops there just to bitter it down just so it doesn't oversweet, but it smells great.
Moving on to the flavor. Kind of, I'm getting like two different tracks on the flavor. I'm getting one that's really like toffee and biscuity, and then one that's kind of hoppy a bit and a bit like... German hops, like, you know, like, Hallertau or something like that. So it's kind of a spicy hop flavor, kind of like they're kind of running like side by side instead of being kind of bundled together. I feel them like in two different tracks.
Kind of melds nicely for me. It, trying to put my tongue where yours is and get that
yeah.
there. It does have a really nice, stronger malt than normal on Märzens, which I like. I like the more malty Märzens.
Yeah.
I think the hops are really pretty mild.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying two tracks.
Yeah, I'm just taste like first I kind of tasted the toffee caramel and that kind of like fades and then the other one gets turned up and they but like I don't know I just that's the metaphor I chose right? It just seems like they kind of run side by side and then you get the kind of the spicy German hops, you get a little bit of like a Pilsner kind of malt flavor in there too, which is kind of adjacent to the biscuity caramel malt to me.
Interesting.
No, I agree with the Pilsner maltiness.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a Maris Otter where you, you know, feel that, you know, caramel directly in the malt, but it is, I think it's really good. I like the end on it. I like that it stays sort of biscuit, kind of buttery biscuity in some sense.
Almost, I think of a biscotti.
Mm-hmm. Even better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Biscotti, because it has that little extra sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So this place is in this kind of chalet kind of building that it's an old building that they were able to purchase. I can't remember what the Parks Department owned it at one point.
Yeah.
But it's this really attractive. You probably have their website up. You can probably see their building. It's very attractive building.
Gorgeous.
Walk in. We thought we were going to have to eat outside. It was a little chilly that day, but they let we had Cooper with us. So they let us eat inside. The owner actually waited our table.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
The owner waited our table. He was, what was his name? Corey, I think.
Really, really
super
nice
duper
guy.
Nice. And like, I didn't even tell him I did the podcast.
Do you tip the owner?
Oh, yeah.
We guess so.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. We had the best hospitality. He knew that we had been to hundreds of breweries, but he didn't know that I was a famous podcaster, right? So,
famous.
Yeah, exactly. Super hospitable, showed us around the brewery. Very, very, very small brewery. Like, don't have that many fermenters.
So clean, too. Did you notice that? Like, yeah. I mean, they all are usually, but it was very neat, very tidy, very clean.
Yeah.
Sparkly.
We were there for a while. I basically got to taste everything they had. And while some of them weren't my style, I mean, they were still well executed, you know. Their fall saison, which I think we might have tonight. Yeah, that good. We'll see. We'll see how that comes across. That was one of my lesser favorites, actually, of the entire day. The food, then, they have like Belgian style brunch stuff. So Shannon got Belgian waffles.
Yeah.
I got something.
That's a good choice.
Trying to remember.
I got something that was more of like this European tart thing because I wanted to be more like experimental. I chose wrongly. I should have got the waffles. The waffles. And it was funny. When the waffles came, they were these big square waffles. They weren't like Liege waffles. And for a second, she was like, aw. And then she tasted them.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, wait. What's going on
different.
In my mouth?
I mean, they were more fluffy. They were lighter, more almost like a crepe-like consistency for the batter versus like, you know, a Liege where it's really like heavy and cake-like. So,
and what was the jam?
I mean, I expected the square for the Belgian. Do you think that?
There's like if you get the waffles at Point Bruges Cafe or one of their. Each location is named after the neighborhood it's in. So it's like Point Bruges or I forget what the Highland Park one's called right now. Park Bruges. They do Liege waffles. And those are the ones that I've made at home because I thought they were the best. But you take pearl sugar, you mix it in. It's a very thick dough instead of a runny batter. And you press it into the waffle press, you know, like as a just a ball. And it gets smashed down by it. I thought those were my favorite kinds of waffles. But yeah, these were very good too.
Yeah,
and my tart thing wasn't as good. So get the waffles. Lots of outside seating. The guy was, like I said, he was so hospitable and he just knew I was a beer geek. We actually joined their quarterly beer club thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can ship.
We never do that.
They can ship to Pennsylvania. This is the only brewery that we are members of, right? So we'll be able to have the beer shipped to us.
Or we can go
every
pick it
quarter.
Up.
Yeah.
You know.
How far is it?
5 hour.
We might make a trip. Trip.
You know, pulling the camper. It's 5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's worth it when you don't get pulled over.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
My first field sobriety test.
We can compare yours to mine.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
No, I've had one long time.
Oh, long time.
Oh, okay.
All right. So that was the Oktoberfest.
Oh, I haven't finished. Hold on.
It's okay. Let's do the fruit one next. I want to get that out of the way. Just to not have like the fruit two. Oh, there's two fruit ones. But we'll do the tangerine wheat next.
Tangerine wheat. All right. So this guy is 6.4%. And I'm just looking at the food pairings, and they're interesting. This one also suggests Korean flavors, which is kind of interesting.
I'm trying to think what the rest of their menu was like. I mean, we only really looked at the brunch menu.
We were there so long, we stayed for lunch. You remember?
Oh, yeah, we ordered. What did we get for lunch?
We got those fries that were, I don't know, loaded with something. I can't remember. And
they were like garlic aioli kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. And then we got a sandwich and split it or something too.
Yeah, I suppose we did.
It was, I mean, it's been so long now, it feels like.
Yeah.
I can't remember everything, but we almost were there for a long time.
That was towards the beginning of our trip, and we went in this big loop around like the northern sides of all the Finger Lakes, and then we came back to the southern side. So one day, we were like 40 minutes back from Brewery Arden, and we're like, they opened for lunch in a half an hour. Should we go?
Okay, so we have a tangerine wheat. The first thing I smell off it was a bunch of carbonation. And so it's got a lot. I think a wheat in general, you're going to get that like burst.
I'm getting a big lemongrass kind of aroma.
Well, it's got tangerine in it, right? So I feel like that is going to smell very similar.
Mr. Clean. But not in a bad way.
Like the awesome smelling Mr. Clean you want to drink. Like the Tide Pod you want to eat.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a bad thing to compare it to, but that's kind of what I'm smelling right now.
Your nose knows.
Yeah. I hope it don't. Well, I don't know what Mr. Clean tastes like, so.
I'm sure they put like lots of bittering agents in it to make sure that it's not like fun to drink.
No, the fruit flavor really is
strong
compared to the aroma where it didn't seem like there was much there. It's kind of a blend.
Strong.
It's kind of a blend of the fruit juice, but also like the zest, I think.
Like, yeah. It almost feels like what's that called? A Radler, where it's a mixture of the juice and the beer. It's almost that much. The food pairing, I'm going to say that aside from some adjectives they added to it, it's not too complicated. It's a protein. Any guess?
Chicken.
Yeah.
Grilled local chicken thighs.
Local. They have to be
grilled local. Grilled local chicken thighs. Yeah. And the suggested Korean style marinade, miso, chili paste, ginger, garlic, pickled vegetable, salad, toasted sesame. Sesame is getting a lot of all the Korean and sesame flavors are getting a lot of play, at least in the two so far.
Yeah.
We'll see if that continues.
Probably their head chef or something writes the notes, and he might have been on an Asian inspired kick when these beers came out.
Let's see. View today's menu. Today's menu has brie and apple sandwich, a savory bouillabaisse, zesty beer mussels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grape tart, Belgian dark chocolate panna cotta, and pumpkin spice creme brulee.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad.
It's a good place.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Oh, and they have two little Frenchies. And what were their names? Hops and, or they had barley and hops?
Barley
or,
and hops, I yeah. think, yeah.
Frenchies?
Frenchies.
The dogs.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, and his mom works there as the hostess that seats everyone. Really sweet. Really neat family place.
I guess they don't want to name any of their Frenchies yeast. Yeast.
They were getting a cat or something, right?
They got a feral cat or something. Well, I don't know if it was feral. I don't remember the story. It was kind of a themed name.
They're arguably not pets. You are sort of like, you know, they'll tolerate you.
And it's not going to be, wasn't it going to be a barn cat?
Probably.
I don't think it was going to be an indoor cat. It's going to be a barn cat.
Yeah. So now that you mentioned that they're hops and barley, this is hops on here because they have a little indicator, letter. They have a letter on their collar. And so it's hops on the Marzen. And
is barley on that one?
No, it's also hops.
No, we got to find barley.
Barley's on this one.
Oh, good. Barley. There's barley.
Barley's on the farm fall, too. I think it's the profile. The one that's running sideways is hops, and the one's coming towards you is barley. So not that is important. This beer is tasty, good and drinkable. I don't think there's like deep flavors to really explore.
Yeah, because normally a wheat has a lot of like all these interesting estery stuff. That's kind of lost with the tangerine.
Yeah, that's very strong in the tangerine.
Yeah, at 6.7%. It's high for a Radler.
It's good balance, though. It's on the dry side. I mean, it's drinkable for a fruited wheat beer. There's seldom that I've had that are better.
Since I like to have the wheat more present, I think that there are ones that I think are better. But the tangerine doesn't taste like medicine-y or artificial at all. So that's good.
Yeah, so the trip that we were on, it was our first big trailer boondocking trip. Boondocking just means camping in your trailer without electric or water hookups, right? Using all the tanks and stuff that are in the trailer. And 17 days around the Finger Lakes. The first 2 days were at wineries. The first winery we stopped at had this beautiful hill overlooking a lake. We got there in the morning and worked there all day and then did a wine tasting right before they closed.
Yeah.
And just cooked dinner at the trailer and... Oh, that was the night Shannon got to see Saturn's rings through some binoculars eyes for the first time.
Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
Yeah.
That was gorgeous. That was stunning.
Could see the Milky Way, but it wasn't spectacular, right? You could tell, it's definitely that swath across there, but like you weren't seeing any of the purples or anything like that yet.
I mean, you know, I've never been in a situation where you see the purple, but I have seen where... It's like, oh, that's why they call it Milky Way, because I think I explained this before, but it's like someone poured milk on the black velvet and it's like,
yeah,
it's like a stain on the sky. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Then we went to a second winery, this smaller place, not as fancy. You know, the first one was like a multi-million-dollar kind of investor kind of winery.
Oh, the second one, vineyards.
Yeah. And the second one was this guy, retirement, owning a winery. I'm sure he still had $1 million to open a winery, right? Yeah. But it wasn't like multi-million investor kind of place. It was pretty cool.
He lived there too, which was neat.
Yeah. And then we jumped onto the breweries. A couple of the breweries, all the breweries were fine. None of them were bad, but some of them were like the one we stayed at the day we went to Brewery Ardennes. Like, we didn't bring home any beers from them. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't anything noteworthy, you know, to bring home. Shannon's wearing a Relative Risk t-shirt right now. That was another really nice brewery. A little more of doing, mm-hmm. I mean, they had more of the hazy hoppy stuff, but they also had like a Dunkel that they just tapped that was really good too. So,
yeah, they had some really good ones.
Me and Dunkel.
There, we actually met a couple from Pittsburgh that we hit it off with and we're actually going to hang out with. So.
Oh. Yeah, we actually went to another brewery after that and met up with them there.
Yeah, well, we had pizza at the one and then went to the second one.
That's.
Where was the karaoke?
That was at a place called Hopshire Farm.
Oh, yeah.
And what it is...
It's right outside of Ithaca.
And Ithaca is called two college town, right? It has Cornell and Ithaca. And lots of entertainers, lots of musicians. And basically the bartender told Shannon, like, yeah, everyone who's singing up there singing is in bands around town and stuff like that. And it was it felt like we were just like at a like concert kind of
thing. at like Bottle Rocket or something, you know, listening to a great concert. It was incredible. I was stunned. I was because when we made the reservation, the owner, you know, sends a message and said, you know, we have karaoke that night. Hope you're, you know, you're going to join in. And I'm like, oh, no, please don't. We don't want that place to close, too. But we didn't. Yeah. Jeff did not go up and do
karaoke.
I think it was the second singer.
And this is where we knew, like, oh, this is something. This guy was in his 40s, say 42 or something like that. But he's a punk, right? Had a mohawk, jean jacket. Yeah. The thing they put on the back of his jean jacket was Goonies is Good Enough. And, you know, black pants, boots. But he must have been an action. So he's walking with a cane and stuff.
Yeah, but he used it as...
He got up there.
Act.
And what does he sing? Frank Sinatra.
Crooner, okay.
And his voice, like he was
amazing.
He was basically saying the raspy punk stuff that he did in his 20s actually like ties into the crooner kind of Sinatra or Neil Diamond or those kinds of vocals in his 40s. But I mean, it was like a cognitive dissonance, like what I'm seeing doesn't match what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun, you know. And then there was another guy there who would sing like. He sang this this really hard Judas Priest song,
gosh.
80s metal, like so
and hit
well.
The notes.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Yeah. Everybody that sang.
Really? I mean, like, I don't find myself like intimidated by those guys. Like, I would have just gone up and just been myself. And I'm not great, but, you know, I'm fine. But, you know, I'm always, I like it when other people are great, but I also like it when other people are.
Yeah.
The thing is, it should be fun.
It was definitely fun, but it wasn't the karaoke fun that you
expect. There were people
expect.
That weren't amazing. And there was,
Well, there was the one lady who is a snowbird because she goes to the same places in Florida that my mom does.
Two other people that weren't that good. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, but then it was the group of people that all knew each other that come to every karaoke there that,
all over, they go to every karaoke.
Yeah. They're all everywhere. In bands and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Like, yeah. One of them was the lead singer of a band. Another one was a guitar player and, you know, backup vocals.
One
and
of them was Taylor
crazy.
Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was super fun. I almost got up. I couldn't think of a song that I knew well enough to not stumble over something. Mm-hmm. And
they sang the last song and they asked you to come up. And you love to sing that song karaoke.
I don't like that song.
I thought you did.
No.
What song?
No, I can't remember.
I guess they have tradition to finish the night with Ball and Chain from Social Distortion.
Yeah. You love Social Distortion.
I like Story of My Life. I might have sang that. I got in my head. It was like, what song do I know well enough where I won't start a verse early or stumble over some words or something? I don't care if I'm out of tune.
Right.
But I want to be able to execute the song, you know, and I just was drawing a blank on which song I could sing that well.
So. That's Red. Is that a bad thing?
No, Red's good.
Okay. I thought that I was like pointing on the soundboard. I remember that last time we had an issue with.
No, thank you. I mean, no, Red's good. It's recording. We're 24 minutes and 17 seconds in.
So
I think
you,
it's time to get on.
Yeah, sorry. But if you want a song that like you don't have to be. On tune, really. Think of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Those are fun to sing, and you don't have to be on
tune. You definitely don't have to be in tune.
Yeah, I suppose. All right, let's go on to the Fall Farm Ale, their Belgian-style Saison.
All right. I'm looking for that on their site, which is... Oh, okay, that's why I was on the wrong page. Fall Farm Ale?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't find it. Oh, I see it. Got it. This one has Barley on it. Barley. Barley is the dog on the front, and he has a, you know, his tongue is sticking out. He's happy to see you. 5.9%. They call it a unique yeast strain.
And what do they recommend food-wise to go with it?
Would you like to make a guess?
Oh, I haven't sniffed it yet. This go good with the breakfast waffles that I had.
I would say based on the style, what they are suggesting sounds about right.
Well, I read the label, so I know what they're suggesting.
Oh, it's on there?
Yeah.
Do you want to pronounce that?
Oh, maybe it's different. This says, pair it with fall vegetables, cheddar cheese, and grilled poultry.
Ooh, squash soup.
This one says a Nicoise salad.
Yeah.
Nicoise.
I've heard of it. I couldn't tell you what's in it.
I'm assuming Nicoise is the correct pronunciation. No idea. Okay.
The aroma's not huge. What I am smelling, my nose is saying rye, which I'm pretty sure there's not rye in here, but that's what it's a spicy kind of rye thing.
I remember this conversation. We specifically talked about that when we had it at the brewery.
Yep.
Because I said that it smells like an Allagash. What?
Okay.
The weird thing about it is I agree that there's a rye thing there, but it's lacking the rye spice.
Okay.
And that's a little disappointing.
Yeah. The one thing that's enthusing me, and probably Shannon's noticing too, these beers taste like the draft beers at the brewery. There's not a big difference between what we got in cans and what we're drinking at the brewery. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about this yeast that is giving me, there's a flavor in there that I don't like.
Or maybe not rye, flavor, and I said this when we were there too, it's kind of like buckwheat.
Oh yeah, you did say that.
I said both. I mean, I did say rye for the aroma, but then when I taste it, I'm like, it's kind of like a buckwheat, probably not sorghum, but you know, I think the way the phenols of the yeast are playing with the wheat, it's making it more earthy, more gritty.
And, you know, I think the grain bill is fine. To me, it's the yeast that's the problem. To me, the yeast is what's giving it this background, kind of very saccharine-y oversweetness.
What if you
get that?
Play a game with me for a second. So sometimes saisons have coriander in it. Think coriander. Does that replace your saccharin with more of a spice kind of thing?
There's some of that there, but it's like over coriander.
Okay.
It's like too much coriander. I think you're on the right track there. But there's too much.
Yeah. Maybe that's what's giving it the nutty buckwheat kind of flavor.
Maybe,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, they do mention coriander on the description. They don't give a whole grain bill, but they say a unique yeast strain and warm fermentation creates a saison with fruity aromas of bananas and orange and light spice notes of coriander. Doesn't necessarily mean it's in the grain, Bill. Or it's in the bill. Or
phenols.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just, not a fan of this yeast, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, this was the first beer I had at the brewery. I'm like, oh, fall saison. Fuck yeah. And, had it. And oh no, actually I got a flight first, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. So I knew the beers were good, and then I got a glass of the saison and was like, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah, there are plenty of, yeah, this is a decidedly mid saison.
They had a guest beer on. Check their tap list, see if they still have it. It was a French beer de garde. And I don't know the name of it. Hopefully it's still on and you can find it there. The thing was fucking delicious, Greg. Like, you've talked about how you like beers like Beerdegard and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I've found them to be somewhat enjoyable. I've never had a Beerdegard that I would consider delicious. And this thing was delicious. It was crazy good.
I do not see any Beerdegards.
Okay. It would be in their like guest taps.
They don't. Oh, okay. Their Belgian import tap is Chimay Grand Reserve Blue.
Mm. Yeah, whatever used to be there was, oh my God, it actually like, oh, okay, now I see why people drink Beerdegard, because this thing was brilliant.
So remind me Beerdegard, because my mind is not coming up with the...
It's a French, it's kind of like a French Saison, but it's more lagery and clean and crisp. Mm. A lot of the examples I find are too chalky. Mm. This one didn't have the chalky.
Okay. I mean, obviously, the first thing comes to mind, I think about that beer of Mars from Jolly Pumpkin that, you know, yeah, blew my mind way back when.
I mean, yeah, no, that was a crazy delicious sour thing. Beerdegards are usually very clean, crisp. I think that might have been like the French's attempt at making Pilsners when Pilsners got popular.
Interesting.
I'm remembering, but I could just be making that shit up too.
See, I'm still tasting that coriander aftertaste after I've even drank some water.
No, you're right.
And it's like, no, I want it to be the Saison. It's got to be clean.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's move on.
Let's see if it continues that the dogs are indicative of the quality.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this is the Special Belge, Belgian style pale ale.
Special Belge.
Special.
All right, I'm wondering if they want that to be on their avant-garde or their farmhouse. Oh no, it is their farmhouse. On their website. Okay, so this is the lowest alcohol beer we've had tonight at 5.5. Special Belge. It won the bronze medal in the 2023 Untapped Community Awards and the bronze medal of the 2022 International Beer Competition.
I see that. Ken.
Interesting.
One of the other breweries we went to is called Personal Best Brewing Company, and they had what they called a micro IPA, which is smaller than a session IPA. It was a 2% IPA.
Okay.
And
continue.
Basically, I went up there and I was talking to him about like how is, you know, like is, cause like a satisfying 2% IPA would be something. So I got one and, yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, especially like after the first sip or two, you kind of forget, you know, like anything that you taste, they taste more thin.
Yes.
And
I think it's like a session plus, right?
Yeah. But, seriously, after like the second sip, didn't notice it. So like, yeah, they made what I would consider a successful, satisfying 2% IPA.
It'd be nice to have like those around for like your home. You're pretty, you're a little bit, you got enough drunk, but you want to sort of maintain it, but not go any further. A 2% would be a good way to be, I'm still drinking something.
Or when you're out.
Yeah, or when you're out, yeah.
You just want to be drinking, but you need to drive.
Yeah, so let's taste this, and I'll talk about my deal with the New York State Police.
So the color is kind of a caramelish brown with brighter highlights in it.
So Belgian pale ale, kind of like Fat Tire.
Smells, I guess, a little bit like a caramel apple.
It doesn't smell too far off from the Oktoberfest, but the Oktoberfest had more of a toffee, sweeter kind. This one goes a little more bitter, I think, in the aroma.
But I'm not getting any like biscuity notes off of it. Like, if anything, I'm getting sort of an apple fruit.
No, I'm with you. I think you hit it when you said caramel apple.
Yeah.
More bready in the flavor, for sure.
More bready in the flavor. Ooh. It has like a pear kind of, like a almost like a ripe pear kind of late flavor or something like that. That's the esters that the Belgian yeast is giving this. And the is thing that the I'm finding.
Wonder if this is the same yeast. I'm still getting coriander off of it.
It could
Are
be.
You? Mm-hmm. We talked about it tasting, well, us being able to taste the pear, I think.
I'm not sure we had this one.
No?
No, I don't think it was available.
Are you sure? Because I thought we had a conversation about pear.
I don't remember drinking a Belgian pale ale.
Oh, well, maybe it was something else.
Because I know I would have been like, oh, like Fat Tire, maybe it doesn't suck. And I didn't have that thought, so... Which is the thought I just had right now. So
yeah. Well, maybe we didn't have it then. No, because this was the one that was...
Just coming out.
Yeah.
I don't often look at Belgian pale ales because I've never had one that really is satisfying to me. I always find that the weird things that they try to do with the hops in the yeast always makes it kind of... off-putting.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, nothing has changed.
More of the same. Yeah. I find some interesting things in it, like that kind of ripe tree fruit in the back there, yeah. Like pear or something. Does it make it delicious? No.
It's not like undrinkable.
Like it. I really like this.
It's not undrinkable. It definitely breaks the pattern for the dogs on the front. So you can't.
Yeah, I mean, it's close enough to the Oktoberfest where, like, just drink the Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
I disagree. No. I really like this one a lot.
You're allowed. You're totally allowed.
Yes, disagree and prove us wrong. What do you like about it? You like the...
I like the fruitiness that comes out in the end. I like how it has that Oktoberfest. It's got the...
maltiness.
The maltiness from an Oktoberfest. But it has the finish of the really sweet, juicy pear.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the... I think that if you were like drawing a Venn diagram between the two, the maltiness is in between, and something that would be in the Oktoberfest would be like the German spicy hop profile, where this one would be lacking that, right? And that would make a big difference. And then obviously the yeast, this is their Belgian yeast that could be the same one as the Saison, and the Oktoberfest would have a...
Are you guys getting that same coriander end?
Maybe a little bit. It's not nearly to the same strength for me, but maybe.
I'm just wondering if I need to take like a aperitif or something to get it off my tongue. Maybe grab one of those hot peppers and...
Do you want a cracker? You want me to go get some cracker? Saltines?
There's some crackers in the bin right there.
Yeah, just like one would be great. Just to clear my tongue a little
bit. So that day we met those people from Pittsburgh, we then needed... It was 7 o'clock on a Saturday, like when all the wineries and breweries closed down. So we had to drive about 40 minutes back to where the camper was. And we were about 2 miles from the camper driving on this road. And it's twilight, not dusk yet, but twilight. And there's a car coming towards us with no lights on, black car with no lights on. And so I was like paying attention to it. And as it drove by, I saw its light bar. Okay, cop with no lights. That's cool. And then in the rear view, I see he's turning around in the middle of the road. Still with no lights on, like broadside in the middle of the road. Then he pulls up behind me, and GPS had me making a left turn right there. The turn on the left turn signal. Before I make the turn, he lights me up, pulls me over.
After we made the left turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he probably saw the turn signal as me trying to evade him, you know, like, oh, there's a cop behind me. I'm going to make a turn and hopefully the cop goes straight. That's probably what he thought. So I probably should have went straight.
It doesn't matter. He was going to do what he was going to do regardless.
Yeah. I mean, so I was like in a column of like 4 or 5 cars and I was the last car in the column. And I'm pretty sure.
I knew you had a trailer on too.
No,
we didn't have the camper on us.
Pretty sure he saw a car with no front license plate in wine country at closing time on a Saturday. So it's like, hey, they're probably visiting wineries. Hey, even if I give him some bullshit ticket, he ain't going to come back and fight it because he's from out of state. He pulls me over, asks where we're going, where we're coming from. And we said, Watkins Glen. He's like, where in Watkins Glen? Brewery. you know. Got any beers? Yeah, two beers. About four, and then when 45 minutes ago, he's like, okay, hold on. Goes back to the car, comes back later. It's like, okay, sir, I smelled alcohol in your breath. You need you to come out and do a sobriety test. I'm sure you smelled alcohol in my breath. So he had me do all the stupid human tricks for about 30 minutes
it
or
was,
so.
It was, at least, because I had to pee this there, whole time.
He, when he had me do the heel to toe walking part, like, you know, you have to put your, you know, heel on the toe of your shoe and walk in a, like, pretend you're walking on a line that goes, stretches on into infinity and do heel to toe walking part. He was demonstrating it. And before he took three steps, he stumbled. And he want, and he had me do nine. And yes, I stumbled too. And then I was like, I was walking on this, the road in front of his car, and the road's crowned, right? So you're on a slope too, and you're walking perpendicular to that slope. That's tricky. And it's dark now, so like, can't see anything. And the headlights are on in my face, you know, his headlights are on my face, all this. So did all that, had, did the whole watch the pen with my eyes thing, that for like way too long. And then he had me do the stand there and lift my 1 foot 6 inches off the ground, heel 6 inches off the ground and hold it there. And that's when I asked him if I could do it in the center of the road where at the top of the crown. I did that like fine. And he has me wait and wait. And then he has me blow a breathalyzer.
30 minutes later, like it feels like you blew your shot.
And I blow it. And he looks at the thing and he like gets all deflated. He starts to walk away. I'm like, what did I blow? He's like 0.045.
And what is the limit?
0.08 is the DUI. Mm-hmm. In New York, and I didn't know
we
this.
We didn't know this at the time.
In New York, they have a driving while ability impaired, which by definition is if you blow a 0.05 and have cannabis in your system, you can get DUI at 0.05.
But you were below that.
And didn't have cannabis
like,
in the system.
Like a half a tick below it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had blown the breathalyzer as soon as he pulled me over, who knows?
Right.
But I knew I wasn't anywhere at 0.08, right? Because we used to have the breathalyzer on the show. And I knew I was fine. I didn't. Now, if I knew that he could give me a hassle
at 0.08. We know. That's the thing. Like Jeff and I over doing all this, we know when we're impaired and when we're not.
Yeah.
And we will tell each other, I can't stay or I can't go or no, I'm good. Cause we have plenty of experience with ourselves.
Yeah.
And I was still nervous. I was like, oh my God, you know, I'm worst case scenario every time.
Yeah.
In any situation, I think of all
in jail and she has to hook up the camper and all that kind of shit.
And I have to tow it home and because his driver's license is now suspended, and, you know, I'm thinking of all these things. I'm like, oh, our trip's ruined. You know, his life's going to be screwed for a long time. And oh man,
was deflated when I blew. He still wrote me a ticket for not following lane markings because he said I was on the shoulder. And I wasn't because
you literally can't because the truck won't let you without hollering at you.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so we have group legal through work. So I found a lawyer up there. This is infuriating. This is, they have this thing where you can ask for a plea reduction to the DA and the DA will offer a plea reduction or whatnot. And I had to give him my driver's abstract, which is not a thing on it, you know, that kind of thing. And, DA comes back with, so the current, that the one I was charged with has like 3 points for going over the white line.
Well, they can't give you points on an out of state license.
Yeah, they can.
No.
Yes, they can.
I don't think that's true.
I think they can.
I'm surprised that doesn't sound true to me, but okay.
Yeah, 3 points for even if I did what he accused me of and the fine, I don't know what it was going to be like.
It didn't tell you.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. They don't tell you what the fine is. After you plead, then they look at your driver's record and figure out what you owe.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so what's even crazier is the DA came back with a lower charge, 0 points of throwing refuse on a highway, littering, gave me a littering charge. which is no points, and a maximum of a $350 fine.
Yeah, so that's just a public nuisance.
Yeah,
that's a citation rather than a breaking, rather than any sort of.
Yeah, but now he has to plead guilty to littering, which is something this man would never do. I mean, yeah. He's the one who goes hiking with trash.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a weird charge.
So are you still fighting or are you going
to
take
it? I talked to the lawyer and they're like, well, if you don't, they're not going to get a better offer from him. You're going to have to stand in court. You're going to have representation. It's going to cost more than this fucking racket is what it is, right? How I don't understand how the charge you get for going over the white line on the side of the road is a 3-point moving violation. That makes no sense.
That doesn't make any sense. And that I would fight that in court.
I mean,
if it was like a local.
Yeah.
If it was local.
So like in hindsight, it's like, okay, it was all sucked, right? It's like, first off, I think I'm going to get a dash cam. Second off, probably get a breathalyzer, you know, that kind of thing.
Get a better one than the one I had because that one doesn't last long. It's not a great one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that. So I'm going to have to I'm a litter bug now in the state of New York.
Yeah.
It doesn't go on your record or anything.
I know.
And we still don't know what the fine is.
Somewhere between zero and 350. But
so it's like a citation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, doesn't go on anybody's record. It's just like.
It's just
stupid.
So
stupid, stupid, stupid.
Wrong.
You should have let me go when I didn't blow a .08.
Yeah.
He didn't. He wrote me.
Oh, that. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad and it was taking forever. I really think it was, I'm 99.9% sure it was well over 30 minutes that we were sitting there. And then when Jeff came back to the truck, he still had to wait for the cop to, you know, do the paperwork and everything. But before he came back to the truck, I was like, I can't sit here any longer, you know, because I have to cut the bus. I'm so bad. And so I opened up the door and I went to get out and the cop yelled at me and told me to get back in the truck. Well, then when Jeff came back, you know, and we were waiting for the paperwork, I finally was like, you know what? F this, I'm out. I'm out. I'm walking because as long as I'm moving, then I okay, you know, I'm not going to die here. So I just started walking down the road. It was like, let the cop come get me. I don't care.
But reached that point, yeah.
I was done. I was like, I don't care. And he just let me go.
So, okay, what happened? So obviously the cop didn't go after you.
Mm-mm.
What happened next?
He came back, gave me my citation.
I mean, after you left.
Oh.
When did you... Did you have to drive down, pick her up?
It was less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, I only got maybe 100 yards.
But then did you like go in the woods or something?
No, the sensation had subsided.
Oh, okay.
Because I was walking.
And the cop was an asshole. So like he might like probably like get you for public indecency.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Or
I was
something.
Like, there was no way I was going to. I mean, it was all farms and fields and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Still, there was no way I would even attempt to try to go into the field somewhere.
Was there like any place close you could stop, like a gas station?
No, it was all farmland for miles.
We're home in 2 minutes after that.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that far.
Or back to the camper. All right.
What is this one?
You just put the can back.
Sorry.
Big Red Cranberry Sour. Ale brewed with cranberries. Probably made in Geneva, New York.
6.7%. By the way, on that last beer, the suggested food pairing was Brewmaster sausage.
Mm.
So here we are on this cranberry, which, I mean, it looks like cranberry, smells like cranberries.
Smells like cranberry. Smells like the Ocean Spray cranberry juice, like specifically to me.
Hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
It's sweeter than I would have expected. I would have expected a more tart cranberry, especially with this being a sour beer, so I was surprised that it smells more like Ocean Spray. It smells a little bit like jelly donut, too.
Yeah,
it jelly donut. You know, and we haven't tasted it yet, right? It could be that particular aromatic is just easy to replicate. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's got kind of a
Jolly Rancher
thing going on.
Yeah.
Oh,
totally. Boy, a Jolly Rancher thing does. Where the tartness comes off like whatever citric acid or whatever's in Jolly Rancher. It makes you salivate like crazy. We're all like, can't talk because our mouths are filling up with saliva.
Oh my gosh. I'm so disappointed because I wanted to taste a jelly donut.
But the cranberry Jolly Rancher is not bad.
No, it was just a shock to the mouth and to my brain. It was trying to process it.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if you're looking for jelly donut, yeah, this has none of, it definitely has none of the, like, that, like, chew pastry sweetness that you'd get.
Mm-mm.
One of the beers we had that trip.
Yeah.
Can't remember which place, but I told them, like, you should just call this like jelly donut. Or no, it was a wine. It was the wine at the Heron Hill. I told the, you know, she was talking about notes of currant and this and that. And I'm like, no, this one has notes of jelly donut. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the food is here?
Oh, definitely turkey. I mean,
no, it's not a protein.
Cranberry. Are you kidding? Is it a
vinaigrette or something like that?
No, it's it's a dessert.
Oh, dessert.
A dessert?
Chocolate.
No, hold on.
A chocolate.
You gotta need something to cut through this, right?
Pumpkin pie would cut through it.
I don't know what's on there.
Mixed berry cheesecake.
Oh, cheesecake.
So the fat of the cheese. Sure. Yeah.
I was thinking like, I got as far as like Lady Locks, but I didn't get all the way to cheesecake.
No, but cheesecake definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. Yeah, it would so be delicious.
It would be great because that sour and that fat would go really well.
And the sweetness of the mixed berry topping would kind of temper this a little bit, you know, go really well.
I almost, you know, the drink you get at a wedding or, you know, any
vodka
type
of tonic.
No, but very similar. But you know how they have the punch bowl with the Sprite and I don't know what they mix together.
Haven't been to many weddings that have that, actually. It might be a more Pittsburgh thing because I've been to a few Pittsburgh weddings, but not a lot that have had that. So I don't know.
I think mine had a punch bowl. I think.
Did it have something like
that? I mean, it was green.
It was green.
Green. Well, yeah.
Green?
Green, I think. It wasn't red.
I mean, I could even like see a sangria at a wedding, but I don't remember having any of those. So sangria is just a punch. I mean, people, you know, we'll try to fancy it up, but it's like, for example, here, on the mixed berry cheesecake, they suggested graham cracker crust and seasonal berry compote. Seasonal berry compote is just a way of saying mashed berries. I mean, compote is a nice way. Sangria is a nice way of saying it's a punch.
Yeah. That first taste that I had really shocked me, and I wasn't a fan of, even though I'm not actually even a fan of Jolly Ranchers, but I love this now that, you know, I've had a few sips.
I think also really imagining good. It with a cheesecake makes it like, it really does.
Yeah. I want cheesecake.
If you can think of the cheesecake with it, you're like, that would be really perfect. Well together.
Yeah, sure would. Other noteworthy breweries on the trip. There was a couple. Prison City in Auburn. We stayed there. That was a really good brewery. They were more of the modern hazy kind of things, but we have a couple beers from them. We'll have an upcoming shows. They do some sours and stuff like that and some a little more wilder stuff. Aurora Brewing Company had some of the best, like, hazy, just good stuff there. That one was really good.
Good name, too.
And then the other ones were fine. None of them were bad. Trying to think. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty nice, though. The trip. Here, have some sound. Yeah, no, it was a heck of a way. And towards the end of the trip, we did some hiking, and there's lots of waterfalls and gorges and stuff, which were stunning. Stunning.
Breathtaking. Stuff, so. Yeah. And went to Watkins Glen and hiked in the gorges there and left it literally the break of dawn. And got on the trail right from our campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And we went all through the gorges. We were early in the morning, so we didn't pass anybody for a long time. And a few people passed us here and there, but still wasn't that many people on the trail. And then Jeff got ahead of me with Cooper. And he's talking to these ladies. So I decided to take some pictures, seize the opportunity to get some of the pictures that I wanted to take. And then Jeff comes... Or I walked up, and Jeff told me that dogs aren't allowed
on that trail
that we had been on for like an hour and a half.
It's a narrow slot canyon, and you know, you can imagine. Well, on a busy day, misbehaved dogs would be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So
there, I got to it too late.
No. Yeah. It lengthened our day because then we had to do the other part. Like we did it in turns. Well, I went one way without the dog and then she went the other way and I took the dog and whatnot. But anyway, beautiful.
It was gorgeous. Well worth it. Highly recommend. One of the must-see places.
Just don't drive on the shoulder in New York.
Yeah, don't.
Your legs. Not worth it.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, make some kind of license plate for the front of your vehicle if you live
Fly
in Pennsylvania
and
anywhere.
Rent a car.
But then or that.
The car will be out of some, the car will be from some other state.
It would be probably.
That's true.
I'd never get a rental car in the same
I can't, yeah. You know, actually, yeah. I think it's like winning the lottery if you like get a rental car where the plates are the same state that you're in.
I wonder why that is. I mean, I know, I mean, part of me thinks that it was because they buy things in one location, they drive them out. They radiate out. Yeah.
Well, people also rent a car in one state and they'll drive it and pay for the drop at that destination and not.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be like every car.
No, but
over time, though, it might work out that way, I guess. If you allow that same policy over time, that you actually would expect it to be.
Well, it depends, especially like at an airport, you'd expect a lot of out and back traffic. You wouldn't so that would have a very low ratio of diffusion.
But not like there's times when
cars only last so long, they decay.
That's true.
I've got a really lower. Good point.
This is potion. We can talk about the physics of this.
Yeah. Okay, but
the evolutionary. This is the anyway.
Potion. Yeah. Take a note. Someone write it down.
Yeah. So, I was just in Florida right before we left for the Finger Lakes, and I had a rental car there. And that car, I forget how many miles it was on it, but it wasn't many, maybe 1,500 miles. It was practically brand new. It had a brand new smell and everything, and it had a Georgian plate. So I don't know. I mean, no, I'm not that far from Georgia line, but it had so few miles on it. And
let's
still
talk about the post show.
Yeah. But now I'm fascinated.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
I'm
about.
I'm wondering,
the post-show.
Do they
drink your beer?
Okay. Post show. All right, fine.
Baba Booey.
Now you understand the post show. Put a pin in it and we'll come back to it.
Oh, like you guys hardly or always do, right?
We try to. Uh-huh. We're not 100% successful.
No, but, we all realize there's at least a half an hour on that. So.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't tell you my sobriety.
Okay.
Thing, well, which was,
I can't get this cork out, so tell me while I'm working on the cork.
So, no, because it was a lot simpler. I was coming from a friend's house in, not the most wonderful part of, a relatively poor part of the, city, and I was going to a shitty bar where I could buy some more drugs. And on the way, I think I did just skip a stop sign. I'm pretty sure I did. And cop got me and came up to me and asked me how many beers I had. And I'm like, I don't know, I had one or two. But it was, you know, not a long, you know, not, it wasn't like right away. Mm-hmm. And the cop asked me to say the alphabet. And I did. I said it fine. But what was interesting to me is as I was saying it, I said to myself, okay, I will not say Y and Z. I'll say Y, Z. I don't know why, but I thought that would make it sound better. Like I wasn't doing a rhyme in my head. I was going through the list.
Yeah.
And he said, after I said that, he said, you're fine. And then just give me a citation for.
Oh, I had to count. I had to count in thousands. I had to say 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. And he had me go all. So I think he wants to hear what you do at like a 10,000 or 11,000 or 12,000 or 13,000.
I guess.
Like, I don't know, but like.
Yeah.
Or to hear if you like lose your internal clock or something. All of that stuff is so subjective, you know, like everyone has different skills on all that stupid shit.
Oh, I remember what it was. I didn't come to a full stop at the stop sign. Mm-hmm. I didn't blaze past it, but I did like a rolling stop. Yeah.
You're a menace.
Yeah.
Well, so are you.
I think I actually went to fight it and the cop didn't show up, so I got off.
Yeah.
All right. This is their anniversary triple. Grand Cru style ale, Belgian style ale. Aged in Pomono Apis brandy barrels.
Okay, so this is a bottle. Let's
see if I can anniversary find it. What?
Anniversary triple, aged in apple brandy.
Okay.
The Grand Cru? Yep. Different looking bottle, though. See if I can find the exact label.
Beer pours golden, bottle conditioned, so our glasses have various levels of clarity to them. The aroma is kind of tight and closed off, but there's.
So this one has different, looks like there's a different label because it's a limited edition in that it is aged in the brandy.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the beers that was exclusive to the club.
Yeah.
Finally, with this food pairing, I suddenly understand exactly what they're doing.
Okay.
They're listing off stuff on their menu.
Are they?
Of course. Of course they are.
So what's this one say that it's supposed to be paired with?
Oh, you got to taste it first, then make it.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get the aroma to open up. There's some oakiness, actually. There we go. Now I'm smelling it. It smells kind of like Chardonnay kind of oak or something like that. The apple brandy probably wasn't the first thing in the barrel, but there's still imparted oakiness.
Charred oak.
Big oak on the flavor, huge oak on the flavor. It tastes like that's too much oak on the flavor.
It's a lot of oak.
I don't think it's too much.
It's a lot. It's almost cloyingly sweet. It's so oaky.
Yeah.
Because now I'm getting a very dark chocolate taste in the end.
I'm with Jeff. Oak sap, you know, like maple sap is the awesome sap because it tastes amazing. Oak sap tastes, I think, dirty and then really super sweet. And like this. So I think just that flavor of oak.
It's
coming through.
Yeah, the oak dominates any kind of recognition of a Belgian triple, and their Belgian triple was delicious. I don't think we have it. I think the other bottle of this is also
does not brandy really come in through here either. It's just oak,
just the oak. Yeah.
See, I just taste the s'mores.
Interesting. Yeah, it's not what I'm tasting at all. Like s'mores.
Yeah,
I can't like, see it.
I roasted my marshmallow too long, and it's you know a little burnt.
Yeah,
a little crispy, and I've got a.
I mean, the bitterness
not
of
a
char.
Milk chocolate.
But that's like a char and astringency that makes back there, which I'm not getting here.
You're not?
No.
I mean, maybe the way you're describing or the way you interpret the oak flavor is more like char, but for me, it's distinctly different.
Yeah.
It's instead of being acrid, it's bitter. Instead of being very tart and tangy and acidic, it's sweet, you know, like
yeah, it's oversweet. And I can almost see how perceptually those can be similar enough that your one person's brain could map it in a different way than another person's brain.
Yeah, so you're not wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm not wrong. I'm never wrong.
Good. I'm glad you know that.
Look, flavor is a complex thing. And one of the great things about having three people on the show as opposed to two is that there's more variety because the complexity is not as intense when there's just two. It's not as widely available. It's not as widely seen when there are two as opposed to when there are three. So we can really tell you if something tastes nasty. You have more than two. You have three people saying it. But if something has a complexity to it that's a little bit different to interpret, that also comes through more. So, yeah, I appreciate that you're giving it a different angle.
This is unfortunate because
Jeff and I are in agreement 100%. Yeah. So.
One of the beers that I complimented the brewer on, the owner, is highest was the triple.
Mm.
It was the most complimentary beer that they offered.
And they went and ruined it.
And yeah, this one's too, I mean, yeah, the level of oakiness is killing both the apple brandy notes and the Belgian triple notes.
Yeah. And it's just now
tastes like oak beer.
Yeah, it's an oak beer. Yeah, it's just a higher alcohol oak beer.
What is the ABV on this one?
7.4. So the highest tonight, but not, you know.
Not high compared to some high, of the others
we've had. Some other shows we've had much higher. But then again, the strength of this show was the lowest one was 5.5. That's. I guess it depends on what kind of show we're doing.
Yeah, no,
but
it's fine.
A show like this, I would not have expected the alcohol by volume. If you just told me the styles.
Yeah, we're doing Belgian and European styles. Yeah,
I would not have expected
it. You're right about that, for sure. All right, let's get on to the ranking.
Oh, boy, hold on. I'm not ready.
Well, you can do it while we're going instead of having all the dead air.
All the dead air.
Mm-hmm. Last place is the Fall Farm Ale. This site
last
stays on.
Last place?
Yeah, last place.
Over the one you just had that you hated.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm still drinking this one.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. Fall Farm Ale's last place. Good points. You make good points, though, Shannon, because I did have things I found. I was very dismissive of this current beer, and this one I talked about more. So
I'm not trying to change your mind or anything. Nope. I was just surprised.
Giving him more information is a good thing.
You make very good points. All right. I'm going to put this Grand Cru, the best in last place. the way the oak came across, no bueno. You know, I would take some fresh triple, blend this out, and knock it down a little bit. And even if it goes back to triple, it's better than this. Then I'm going to put the Fall Farm Ale in fifth place.
You're not running a business, I would just say, for the answer of why they didn't do that. They're running a business.
No, he's dumped beer before. I mean, like I said, I was impressed thoroughly with the entire place. Mm-hmm. This is the least impressive part of it. The faux fur mail, that didn't work for me. I wanted something that was drier and more crisp, I guess. Coriander came across weird, made the malts taste like buckwheat, or the yeast that tastes like coriander came across weird, one or the other. And let's see. So the top four, we're going to put the Special Belge in fourth place, Belgian Pale Ale. I mean, it had that neat fruit flavor to it, but other than that, it was kind of, I think Greg said, you know, he's always looking for something redeeming about a Belgian Pale Ale and hasn't yet found it.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that sentiment. Going to, no, geez. I'm going to put the Big Red Cranberry Sour in third place. It was neat. Had some good flavors to it. Go great. If we had cheesecake, it'd be in the first place. Hands down, no doubt. But without cheesecake, third place. And then I'm going to put the, what kind of fruit's on that? Tangerine wheat in second place. It was very good. I have a hard time thinking of a fruited beer where the fruit is the star, but it's also not, it's like low key star, you know, like where the other stuff came through and it just tasted authentic. So high marks for fruited beers. And then the Oktoberfest, I think, is the best thing here because it maybe is a little bit different from some of the classics, but what it did differently, I really liked. I like that more full, malty, biscuity mm-hmm. flavor. Mm-hmm. So that's my order. Let me snap the photo before anyone goes rearranging shit.
What version of an iPhone is that?
10?
An old version?
No,
it's a 12.
12, 12.
Yeah, 12, yeah. It must
Jeez.
Be at least 12.
Yeah,
12. Yeah.
He's getting the 16 here soon. That one's all broken.
My battery has gone to shit. So.
Well, and it's broken. It's all cracked.
Oh, back glass is cracked. That don't matter.
Oh, okay.
All right. Greg's not going to take your influence.
You should let me
influence.
Go next.
All right.
Interesting.
Let me snap myself a picture here.
Taking photos with an iPad like a tourist.
Like a tourist. I've only been for 523 shows. You know, it's... Okay. In... Last place, it's that farmhouse ale that made me that shoved coriander down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
What is funny is that the two in my last place are both barley.
Oh,
barley.
No.
Oh, poor barley.
He looks so happy. He looks like he so wants to.
They're both very happy dogs.
So that's interesting, right? Barley gets the ones that say farmhouse at the top of the back label.
Yes.
And then hops gets the ones that say avant-garde.
Two different. It looks like they're two. If you go to their site, sorry.
They're two families.
Yeah, they're two families of beer. They have their farmhouse and their avant-garde.
Oh, interesting.
We found the pattern. We cracked the code, Chuck.
We did it. It only took us an hour or so. Slowest escape room ever. Okay. The Fall Farm Ale. No, thank you. I've had so much better farm ales than this. It's and to call it a Saison is almost an insult.
Yeah, I have to agree there.
No, that's nothing close. And the next, the Belgian Pale Ale, because I still felt that coriander thing, and Jeff said my sentiments exactly. You know, just I don't understand Belgian Pale Ale. It's not a style that I really have ever found something that is something that I would enjoy. In fourth place, the this Grand Cru only because, I mean, it's perfectly drinkable. It's just not very interesting. It's not like what I would expect for a beer you probably spent considerably more money on and, you know, thought was going to be awesome. Yeah, this is, I believe you when you say the triple was something special and this just destroyed something special. But in terms of just me not having had the triple before.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that the triple was good. It's no longer.
The tangerine wheat is kind of, to me, getting in third place only out of a sort of an expectation thing and what I expect out of wheat ale. I think if they're mislabeling their ale somewhat in the same way that somewhat like that they shouldn't label that a Saison, they should label this a Radler, and I would appreciate it more.
I mean, you mentioned that before. I didn't, you know, try to correct you or anything, but I mean, now that you're doubling down on it, to me, a Radler is like half lemonade or half grapefruit.
That's juice. What I taste here. I mean, like I've seen breweries, I'm pretty sure I've seen breweries who label something a Radler when it's just a beer with a lot of extra sort of like fruit stuff added, but it's not necessarily half and half, but it has that feel. So
you would think the alcohol would be significantly more. If there was a quarter fruit juice would drop it.
Right, you know. Right. And this, like other Radlers I've seen, are around, you know, 5 point something. So I don't know how everyone manufactures them, but whatever. Sure. I liked it, but the other two were more interesting to me beer-wise. So the Big Red in second place wasn't like exactly what you wanted right out of the can in terms of like, oh, this is going to be amazing something, but it was enough to say, you know, beer wise, what they did here is really cool. And if you think about pairing it, it becomes this wonderful option.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, like it's a wonderful pairable beer. Like if you were going to have cheesecake and you happen to be able to have one of these, you would want to pair that right away. If you were a chef, that would be a wonderful pairing. You'd be, you know, praised for it. So yeah, in that sense, that it is a really successful beer. But of these all, the most successful beer straight up is definitely the Märzen. It was the most enjoyable. I've had better Märzens, but this was good.
Okay. I gotta get these in order. So you guys talk while I do this.
All right. So I am looking at the website here, and I wish it was a little bit easier to navigate. I mean, it is, part of it is that, okay, I'm doing a lot of it by finger.
Yeah.
This is slightly new, but I would just be doing mouse anyway, and it's still not the best navigable website.
You don't get a list of the beers. You just get the a gallery of the can labels.
Yeah.
And stuff.
I wonder if this is like some Squarespace template or something.
Probably.
That they've applied.
Probably. That's like 90% of small business is Squarespace.
And it makes sense. You can make a website that looks nice enough, but after a while, you want to build your own website because Squarespace is just enough for a billboard, basically.
It's good. But yeah, you still only have so many templates. You're going to look like a big chunk of the internet, no matter what template you use. So,
Technically, I think you can like customize templates like that, but at that point, you know, get a better CMS.
I mean, the nice thing about Squarespace is because they, you know, there's no updates that you have to make sure run. Where if you run WordPress on a big web host, and even if it's automated, you still got to worry about, no one's making sure that it's up to date other than you are, right? Even if it's supposed to be automatic. Where with WordPress, or I'm sorry, with Squarespace, and also if you get hosted WordPress at WordPress.com, same thing. But those people are making sure your site's secure and up to date and things like that. So, I mean, that's when I've recommended Squarespace, that's the main reason. I've migrated I won't mention companies specifically, but from using...
You can stop us, by the way. This was just us delaying.
Using WordPress or Drupal or something like
and
that.
And this is the weird thing is it's not a Squarespace ad. We've
And it sounds like one.
I know.
I was going to wait and let him finish his talk, and then I was going to ask him how much...
I wish.
Royalties. Yeah, or exactly. How wish. Much we were
Fuck
getting
Squarespace.
Paid
for Fuck them. Fuck them, fuck them, fuck them. No. I'll go back and edit that out if they pay
us. Use code CBR, fuck them.
If it's not there, you know that they paid us for this placement.
All right. I took my picture.
Okay.
In last place, I'm going to have
use 1,000 words to describe that picture.
Use 1,000 words or don't use?
Use 1,000 words because the picture is worth 1,000 words. So.
It doesn't mean that it can be described in 1,000 words. Just it is worth.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have many. Anyways, it's that anniversary triple. You know, I had a different flavor experience than you guys had, but I still didn't think it was great. I thought it was too charred. Tasting, not even just the oakiness, but I've tasted too much of that charredness to it. So anyway, it was last. And then how many do we have? One. So in fifth place, then I have to go for the Fall Farm ale. I agree. I don't know. I didn't like that.
Coriander
that just sat on my tongue, not as much as you, I don't think, but it still was there and I didn't like it. And then in fourth place is the tangerine wheat, and I really liked it, but I like the other ones more, I guess, so because I rate them by alphabet and I have like B, B+, B++, A, things like that. So third place, that special, what is it?
Special Belge.
Yes. I really liked it. I didn't make many, I didn't take that many notes, so I can't really remember, what I tasted in it, but I just,
worth talking about.
I liked it. Second place, the first and second place are really hard for me. But I'm going with that Oktoberfest, the Marzen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really good. I don't know. Probably I think it was the best Oktoberfest I've ever had. So
I need to get you some Oktoberfest then.
Yeah.
There are better ones out there.
I've had a lot, but I've never liked one like I like this one.
All right. Noted. I put it in my bank of things we gotta do.
Gotta get. Okay. And first place, just because I love it's just a nice, refreshing beer. And man, if I had cheesecake, I'd be drinking this big red. I think we have four of them. Don't we have four? Please tell me we have four of them.
We have more.
I'm buying cheesecake tomorrow.
Yeah, do it.
Might only have.
Or making it or something. I don't know.
Probably have four. Maybe two. I don't know.
Buying it's a lot cheaper and easier.
It is. So I'll probably just buy some. Yeah. I want some cheesecake.
It's only for this beer. It's not like you're doing it for a special occasion or anything. Just buy it.
I might go to Oakmont Bakery and get
it. Yeah, go get a good one for sure.
I think they make cheesecake too.
All right. Well, I guess that was it for episode.
We've got
episode 523.
I mean, plus I wanted to okay, before we do FMKs, I want to point out here that what I would say to this brewery is find a better yeast.
The farmers?
Yeah. I think the quality of what they're putting in there is good. I think the yeast is holding them back from my perspective.
Yeah. I mean, from the perspective of what's on the table, I mean, yeah, the farmhouse ones were a little weird, mm-hmm. right? You know, but I've had the triple, I've had the double. I thought they were both brilliant.
So. You were also like in love with the place while you're there, so that may have impacted like setting plays
the
a role.
Experience.
Yeah.
Sure.
Going here under the microscope.
Well, I mean, we had delicious food while we were drinking the beer.
By the time you have I had the flight first. I mean, the quality of the beer elevated the experience at that point. It was before food. It was before the hospitality. You know, that kind of thing. So, hey, my experience.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. We talk about microscope a lot. That feeling. I want to even make it more distinctive what we do here. Because when things are really small, you need higher energies. They made these things on particle accelerators that are really microscopes. They're microscopes of very, very small things, but they're powerful ones. They have to be. This is a powerful microscope we're using, and it kind of burns away the irrelevancies. So those things don't play a role. Whereas when you're like in a bar, when you're at home, just drinking with your friends, it can be a different experience. But when you're in this show and when you're in this particle accelerator of a show, these flaws will stand out.
Craft Beer Radio, ruining beer experiences since 2005.
It's a scientific. It's just science, everybody. It's just science. So let's go to Fuck, Marry, Kill. Because it's just science.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to fuck the Big Red.
Mm.
I'm going to marry the Special. Because I don't think I want the Oktoberfest every day for the rest of my life.
Special is going to annoy you so much. His accent is going to drive you nuts.
Oh, I'm French. I'm Flemish.
It's going to be like attractive at first, and then you're going to hate it for the rest of your life.
Maybe I'd like the Big Red more for the rest of my life. And, you know, I think you did. I changed your mind earlier. No, yeah, I changed your mind.
Yeah,
okay. Well,
you changed my mind before.
I think you changed my mind because I think I'm going to marry the Big Red. I don't know. It's a good everyday drink. I'll probably get tired of it. I'll just go sleep in the camper or something.
Well, you sleep with your fuck choice, which is going to be...
I'm going to fuck...
You're going to fuck the Marzen.
The Marzen.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your Goomba is the Marzen.
I'm definitely killing the anniversary triple, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And that makes me sad.
All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, killing is always a sad thing. It should be. Should be a sad thing.
I'm going to marry the Oktoberfest. I'm going to fuck the Big Red. And I'm going to kill the Fall Farmale.
You're marrying Oktoberfest?
Mm-hmm, me too. Because the Big Red is like, hey, I mean, dressed up in that red dress, you look so fine.
I mean,
you know, you're a... You're some...
It's the guy looking over the shoulder at the red dress with the Oktoberfest in blues, sitting you on the shoulder with that look. Like, why are you checking her out?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
As the Marzen is...
I mean, it's literally a meme.
Marzen's good. The Marzen's good. The Marzen...
It is.
Is not going to disappoint you. It's not going to excite you.
It's just there.
It's not going to put on a red dress.
It's very predictable.
Mm-hmm. But no, that farmhouse can go to hell.
I'll put it there.
It fell down a well, and no one cared.
Over the anniversary.
Yeah, the anniversary was fine. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. It was just, whatever. You might want to pot me on this one so it doesn't get too hot. Okay. Oh, it didn't go back. That's one thing.
So smooth. That's Apple technology there for you. So
love this song. All three of my favorite artists.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Craft Beer. Tune into the post show. We're going to talk about the diffusion and decay of rental car propagation, apparently. So
and I thought I was going to stay up all night.
The population genetics of rental cars.
Oh, hold on. Say that again. I accidentally hit your mute button.
The population genetics of rental cars.
There you go.